Hi guys, and welcome to episode 2 of Chronically Christy. Thank you for being here. So in this episode, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of how I came to have CKD. So I'll begin by listing every trigger warning I can think of. There'll be descriptions of medical surgeries, trauma, potentially graphic medical descriptions, etc., etc., that some people might find uncomfortable listening to. So, now that's out of the way, let's start. So I'd like you to shut your eyes and picture this. 2006. The Arctic Monkeys are huge. Twitter was brand new and we were all waiting for the World Cup. It was the last bank holiday in May. I'd just turned 21 and me and my boyfriend Steve were preparing to go to Haydock races after finishing our university finals. On the train there, I was really poorly, so we had to come home. I sat in the bath to ease the pain and the sickness. And all the news all over the TV at the time was, don't come to A&E, we're completely overwhelmed, please don't come to A&E. So we rang an out-of-hours GP. The nurse was very dismissive on the Friday evening. But by the Sunday, I'd actually seen a doctor who had diagnosed me with gastroenteritis, gave me an anti-sickness injection and sent me home again. Monday morning, we ended up in A&E out of desperation, but I was left until the Wednesday when I was rushed into emergency surgery. And here is where my memory gets fuzzy because I didn't wake up until 6 weeks later. Yep, I spent 6 weeks in a coma with my family in Poku being updated with all these horrors that were happening to me. I'd gone into multi-organ failure. I'd had a colostomy, a tracheotomy, a fistula put in, a neckline. I'd lost all my muscle mass. I lost at least half my body weight. Went down to 45 kilogram, which I swear is just one of my legs now. And was left in ICU for 6 months. When I did make it to the high dependency unit, I had a bleed in my tracheotomy that went to my lungs. And I had to have emergency surgery on my hospital bed and went without oxygen for 10 minutes. That's the time my family were called in and told to expect the worst. Luckily, I don't remember a lot of this. I have lost about 6 months worth of memory before all this happened. I remember when I woke from the coma, I was worried I'd been asleep for years and years, like you see on the TV. And I remember going round the bed asking everybody was there, how old they were. I was worried I'd missed years and years of everybody's life. 6 weeks felt like forever. And I didn't remember who Steve was, and I remember he was devastated at the time. They brought me photos and music and university pass certificates, luckily, to help jog my memory. And it worked, it really did. But basically, my kidneys were left. The doctors told me over and over that they'd recover. They're a strong organ, they'll come back. We don't need to worry about your kidneys, but you are on dialysis. I didn't really understand what that meant at the time. I was in a wheelchair, I couldn't move, I couldn't get out of the bed. I used to have staff come and rub my feet just to get blood into them. For me personally, was the colostomy bag in the beginning. Managing that when I was so poorly was impossible, and having to rely on the staff and my family was heartbreaking. So all in all, that first time I spent 6 months as an inpatient. I got home at the end of November. And I don't remember at all, but I must have been on dialysis that whole time, through a neckline. I remember once I got home, Mum and Dad had to drive me all the way to Liverpool from Ellesmere Port 3 times a week to have dialysis. And that's when all our lives changed and we realised what life was going to be like from now on for us. It affected everyone, not just me. My dad retired early. He had to drive me to the hospital over and over. We were never told we could have claimed money back. It wasn't even in our brains to think about that at the time. Driving through the tunnel all the time. All that time having a colostomy bag that we couldn't manage ourselves, but we had to. And it wasn't a nice colostomy either. It was a really, really high output one. And I found it humiliating. I was a very strange dialysis patient in the beginning, and that they had to put fluid into me because I lost so much through this ostomy. Usually dialysis works by taking fluid off somebody. But no, not me. Not me. Always the weird one. We'll talk about dialysis in depth, obviously, in the future. We won't go into that now. We'll be here forever. So once home, in my wheelchair, Dad and Steve used to cart me up the stairs in the thing, bruising themselves. But I did eventually learn to walk again. Then that Christmas, that same year, we're talking 2006, I was taking so many medications. Everything from painkillers and blood pressure medication to thyroxine and, oh, just so many medications that my heart failed. I remember being taken in, I was shaking like a leaf, and I was put in this tiny little ward behind A&E for heart failure patients, where I was told my heart had reduced itself to 30% function and I had sudden death syndrome where I could drop dead at any second. And because I was a stubborn 21-year-old, and the minute they mentioned pacemaker, I said, no, no thanks, you're not putting one of them in me. Don't want that, I'm too young. But I do remember about that ward, it was the best food I've ever had in a hospital. I think they really thought I was going to drop dead, which I can laugh about now, but maybe not so much at the time. In my notes, it says I had a viral infection, but they never really figured out what it was. But I improved enough to go home and have been on heart tablets ever since, but have been discharged from the cardiologist for years and years and years and years. Late 2007 now, they rang me, I remember, to tell me they were going to reverse my colostomy out of the blue, just completely out of the blue, and I had my first ever panic attack. I don't know if you've ever had a panic attack. Not nice, can't breathe. Can't speak, can't do anything. I threw the phone at Steve and fell on the floor. But it was a day I'd been waiting for. Couldn't wait to get rid of the thing. But it was the worst surgery I've ever had and the worst recovery I've ever had. And the scars are the worst scars I've got and will ever have, I hope. But I was no longer defecating into a bag on my stomach, so it was worth it. Despite all the horrors of that surgery and the recovery, it is definitely not a nice surgery. Recovering in ICU after the surgery, the hospital managed to infect me with MRSA. Another positive. At the time, it was a big deal. It was all in the news that it was killing people. And they told me when I was on my own, no support, nobody to telephone, nobody. But obviously I got over that, still here. And now Steve had passed a driver's test by this time, so he began to drive me to dialysis. And after all of this colostomy reversal, recovery, heart failure, everything, my kidneys never got better, obviously. Even though they said they would, they never did. So I went straight from a healthy 21-year-old to a person in full-blown end-stage renal failure in a matter of weeks. Now, I don't know if you know much about the actual kidneys. We can go into that in more detail in the future. But the kidneys are really quite complex organs that control everything from blood pressure, the levels of fluid we have in our body, substances in the blood, and they filter the blood to keep it clean and chemically balanced. And they work mainly to rid the body of all of the waste and toxins that build up. And now, at 21, I was full of toxins and waste. So I continued on dialysis as I tried to get stronger. Easier now I'd got rid of the colostomy, easier to put weight on, easier to eat. And Steve immediately put himself forward to be tested to donate his kidney. We'd finished our degrees and we already had funded MSCs in Newcastle University that we'd had to delay once I'd got sick. But getting there was our target. We wanted to get to do our funded degrees basically before the funding ran out. So we decided that if Steve was eligible to donate, he could do that when we got back from Newcastle. We'd go and do our degrees. I'd do it whilst on dialysis and he'd donate when we got home. So I dialysed all the way through my master's degree in Newcastle. Beautiful city, love it. Really need to visit more. But it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Writing essays on dialysis and then reading them the day after is an event, I can tell you that. Let's just say dialysis turns your brain into mush, especially when writing about geology. So, when we passed our degrees, luckily, in October 2009, we went for our transplant at the Royal Liverpool. I remember the day vividly. Went in early for dialysis, everyone's very excited. Steve went in first, obviously. His kidney came out no problem, but when it came to me, of course, there was an issue. In my notes again, it's under the heading, there was technical difficulties. Basically, they tore my artery. They tore a little flap in it that stopped any blood perfusing into the new kidney, and they couldn't make it work. So, Steve's kidney, in the bin. Steve's now down to one kidney. Christy is still on dialysis. And devastated is an understatement. The surgeon was devastated, the family was devastated. So you can only imagine how me and Steve felt. And it's taken a long, long time to get over it. It's hard sometimes to not feel bitter about somebody else's cock-up, as a lot of my illnesses, unfortunately, are because of other people's cock-ups. So, in 2010, we decided we'd get married, take our minds off things, have some fun, carry on with life. We got married in the August at Chester Zoo. Beautiful wedding. Only I can see my neckline dressings and my fistula scars. But we loved it. It was a great day with all our friends and family. Even some staff. My ambulance driver was there, of course she was. And then after we got married, we moved to dialysis at a more local unit, which was Chester, the Countess. I remember my first session vividly as I threw up all over the nurse, who then decided she didn't want to be my nurse. Steve came with me a lot to Chester because it was so close. We used to watch films on the laptops and eat a lot of junk. And this is also when we got our first dog together. Good old Cookie Dog. Once in Chester, at the beginning I dialysed on a neckline. Then it was time again to try and get better access in. I had a huge operation to put a graft in my arm, as my access is so terrible and still is terrible. But this good old graft in my arm has been going for over a decade and is still going to this day. They maintain it regularly, which irritates the heck out of me. But it's good really, as if they need blood, they can get it from there. So I dialyse now up until September 2014. And after one false call, I finally got the call. It was a marginal kidney, which means it was less than perfect, from a 60 plus year old chap from London. So once we'd agreed that it was good enough, it took a good old long time to get up to the Royal. And so the surgery went okay, but the little old kidney didn't wake up for 2 weeks. So 2 weeks of blowing up like a balloon, them not dialyzing me, then dialyzing me. I think I had two sessions post-transplant to kick it into gear, and then they whacked a load of steroids in me and it woke up. And to this day, this kidney loves a steroid, absolutely loves a steroid. Unfortunately, that Christmas, I was having a really bad reaction to something, turned out to be one of the meds they had me on. I won't name it, but you all know which one it is if you're a transplant patient. It's the one that puts you on the toilet a lot. Anyway, I began bleeding profusely on the toilet and I was rushed to A&E. And yes, my bowels had popped again. And interventional theatre could not fix it for the life of them. So just after New Year's 2015, after massive, massive blood loss, the emergency surgeon was called in and I woke up with another colostomy. My favourite. I cried a lot. But my kidney was okay and had gone and survived and got through all of it. So after getting home again, quite miserable, but not on dialysis. We booked a holiday, which we went on with me still having my colostomy. And then I finally got that one reversed at Chester, late 2015. And this was the worst recovery from a surgery that I can remember. And is probably the worst surgery I've ever endured to this day. Just your bowels being reattached together does not work. It just, you're just so poorly and it's not pleasant. Anyway, to help the recovery, we planned an absolutely massive 10-week adventure. We booked Japan, Australia, Fiji, and a month in New Zealand. Basically, everything. We drove from Cairns to Brisbane in Australia. We flew to Sydney and Melbourne. We visited Mount Fuji. We went to Turtle Island in Fiji, where I met Al Gore. Nice chap. Wrote the organ donation stuff in America. Told him how terrible it was. Month in New Zealand, we met lots of hobbits, of course. We flew helicopter tours over the glaciers and the volcanoes. Huge earthquake while we were there as well. Always fun. We visited White Island, that volcano that blew up a couple of years ago and killed a few people. Not allowed to visit it anymore. But we had a brilliant time and life became as normal as it could possibly be now as a post-transplant patient. Blood tests and appointments, of course, but I managed to go back to work part-time. A few different jobs, everything from working in a nail salon to in an office. My function, kidney function, was never brilliant, but it did its job. It kept me off dialysis. And unfortunately, it has the function been declining slowly over the past 5 years. It's inevitable, really. But in September, this kidney will be 10 years old. And for a marginal kidney from an older guy that's older than my dad, I can't complain at that, can I? So I'm now at the point where they're thinking about putting me back on the transplant list, which is quite terrifying. Because I can't really remember the last time I was on it. So phone ringtone on full volume all the time, phone next to me in bed, false calls and having to tell the hospital when I go on holiday. Not my sort of way of living. It's quite a frustrating way to live. But there you go. So chronic kidney disease is defined as kidney damage or loss of function that lasts for more than 3 months. Usually develops slowly, but obviously in my case, I crash landed straight into the final stage, end stage. And now my transplant function is only 14%. I'm technically back at end stage again. I'll go through all the stages of kidney disease, I think, in the next episode. I'm planning on doing these every couple of weeks, but we'll go into that next time. I'm waiting for more tests to say I can go back on. They're hoping to put this kidney in that place where they damaged it when they tried to put Steve's in, which makes me a little bit nervous. But I've had scans and they reckon it's okay. And that's where I'm at, I suppose. 21 to 38, a long, hard slog. But I'm still here. I'm still fighting. I've met amazing people, patients, staff, nurses, specialists, volunteers, charity workers. I've worked with lots of people to run blogs, run events, raise awareness. And I'm trying to live my best CKD life, which is all we can really do, isn't it, really? Make our lives work despite everything. So next time, we're going to delve into how kidney disease actually works, the stages and the science behind it. Maybe go through some symptoms. So any questions or suggestions, I'd really like you to send me some. Please send me them on the socials. I'm sure anybody that's listening at this early stage already probably knows me. Like I said, I'm hoping to do these every couple of weeks. I know I've released the first two together. That's because that first one was so short and was more of an introduction. I'm really grateful that you're here and you're listening. I hope I've not depressed you too much today with this not very happy story, but hopefully it has a happy ending. You never know, I might get another transplant in a couple of months. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I will speak to you all very, very soon.